They went that way. They're going that way, I think.
The committee will come to order. Please take your seats. There's a quorum present. Representative Doty, would you like to move the minutes?
Madam Chair, I move we approve the minutes of the previous meeting.
Any discussion? If not, all those in favor say yes.
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 No. Anyone say not agreeing? Thank you. We're going to change the agenda around a little bit. We are going to have the support of organic research at the University of Minnesota come up first. So if you would do that, that would be very helpful. I think there are three people, and you can all come up together and then... Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. There are treats from me this morning.
Good morning.
Say your name who are you with?
Hi. My name is Atina Diffley. My husband and I run the Gardens of Egan, which is an organic vegetable wholesale production farm in Farmington, Minnesota. We grow mixed vegetables, which we sell to the Twin Cities Organic Market, Byerly's, Cubs, the Natural Food Stores, Rainbow. We're one of the oldest organic vegetable farms in the state. That's 1973 is when we started. And the changes that we've seen in the market in the last 33 years are really huge. When we started, markets were not well developed. Since the 90s, we've had 20% growth annually in most areas of organics. That high growth is expected to continue. Customers didn't know what organic meant when we were starting. Now 54% have tried organic foods, and many of them count on them regularly. Another really important thing has changed is in the 70s, we didn't have reciprocity between states on organic standards, and now we have a federal standard. Another really important thing that's changed is when we started, people thought we were sort of crazy. Now we have a university that wants to study what we're doing and is seeing that there's a lot of really important benefits. When we started, there really weren't any universities for us to go to and turn to for research or for education. We really had to do a lot of experimentation. We had to speak to old-timer farmers who farmed without chemicals. There really weren't well-developed systems to grow organically and have high yields and really good outcomes. So a lot of the early farmers have had to really develop those systems with experimentation. There wasn't much research or people in the extension that we could turn to for that help. It's really important to understand that organic farming is a completely different paradigm. We're not just doing input substitution. You can't just think about how conventional farming works and then put in different inputs. Organic systems are based on creating biological diversity and very healthy soil. And because organic systems are so knowledge and management intensive, research is really crucial for success. It's really important that we have well-staffed research institutions that are helping with this as more and more people make the transition to organics. Organic farming has really different research needs than conventional. It's not just applicable to apply conventional research to organic and expect it to work. A really good example is USDA soil microbiologist David Dowds, who's studying mycorrhizae fungi. He has found that a lot of species have increased yields of up to 50% when this fungi is present in the soil. And the main way of keeping this present in the soil is by growing cover crops, which is common in organic systems. So this is a really good example of different types of research that are very crucial to developing organic systems. They benefit not only organic farmers, but any farmer who's wishing to reduce their use of chemical fertilizer. What we have found on our farm, once we've had our soil built up, is that our yields are comparable to our conventional neighbors. And in a good year, and in a drought year or a stressful year, we tend to have higher yields and less disease problems. This is because we're building our soil and we have high organic matter, and so we're better able to withstand stress. One final point I would like to make is that it's very appropriate for the university to be researching organic production as part of their alternative energy research program, because organic farming really is an alternative energy system. In healthy organic systems, the majority of the energy to feed the plants come from soil building practices rather than fossil fuel-based fertilizers. The Willowdale Institute conventional organic field trials have documented that organic systems use one-third less fossil fuels in production systems because of the massive amount of energy that's required to synthesize nitrogen fertilizer. The other really exciting research that has come out on this issue is that organic systems carbon sequester 15 to 28% more carbon. And this is because of the soil building systems that we use. With higher organic matter in the soil, we have more carbon sequestration in the soil. And this is really huge because it translates to one 320-acre farm taking the carbon from 117 cars out of the air. And that's not even counting the reduced fossil fuel use. That's just counting the carbon sequestration. As water issues become increasingly pressing, organic will be increasingly more valuable. It's been shown in research that organic systems use less water because of the organic matter in the soil, and that they have less nitrate leaching problems and they perform better in drought. So it's absolutely crucial that we have more research to help organic farmers transition, as more and more farmers transition, to get this information out quicker. It took us a long time to work out systems when we were starting in the 70s because we didn't have any support. And we need to really speed this up for the new farmers. So if I can answer any questions about organic, I would be delighted to do so.
Thank you. Are there any questions?
And I have copies of my testimony here.
Thank you. State your name for the tape, please.
My name is Jean Andreas, and I thank you for giving me the opportunity to address the committee today. I am here to represent the farmers of Pastureland in Dodge Center, Minnesota. Pastureland is a small cooperative of five family-operated grass-based dairy farms. The cooperative was formed in 1998 with the goal to operate a business that provides a stable price for its members' milk. I have been employed by the cooperative for the last 2.5 years as their general manager. Pastureland's farmers practice management-intensive grazing. They focus on building the soil, grass varieties, and pasture ecosystems that nourish the members' dairy herds, and take great pride in their ability to provide their animals with high-quality forage without having to supplement their diet with grain. In the wintertime, the herds remain outdoors, though they do have access to shelter, and are fed primarily stored pasture grasses. Their diet is supplemented during that time with small amounts of vitamins, minerals, molasses, and small grains as needed to retain proper body condition for calving in the spring. Organic certification is required for all Pastureland members. We sell our products to restaurants, grocers, and natural foods cooperatives in the Twin Cities, Greater Minnesota, Wisconsin, and by direct sales both locally and nationally. For many consumers, milk is their entry into the organic food category. Growing concerns about commercial farming practices have fueled the growth of organic dairy sales, reaching nearly $1.4 billion in 2003. The Organic Trade Association expects organic milk sales to grow by an average of 17% through the year 2008, with the National Business Journal projecting 20% annual growth during that same time period. In recent years, the demand for organic milk has sharply outstripped the available supply. Pastureland has benefited from consumer demand for organic dairy products. On average, our producers receive twice the price per hundredweight than that of their conventional dairy counterparts. If we value Minnesota family farms as being an essential component of a thriving rural Minnesota economy, it is to the benefit of all Minnesotans for the university to focus more of its resources into organic farming practices and specifically perennial pasture-based production systems. Research should be carried out on-farm with participating farms located in every part of the state. Organic dairy farms tend to rely more on forage as feed and less on grain than their conventional confinement counterparts. Research should be specific to building soil quality for healthy perennial plants and maintaining pasture ecosystems. Good permanent pasture management is the most effective and efficient and cost-effective way to harvest the sun's energy and convert it into high-value feed and products with no petroleum-based inputs. More on-farm research is necessary to determine the most durable, high-yielding forages that can withstand our changing Minnesota weather and the anticipated swings in drought and overly wet conditions because of global climate change. The deep-rooted systems of well-managed pastures hold soil and water more effectively and also prevent soil erosion from wind and excessive rain. And if demand for cereal grains for ethanol production increases as inspected, the higher cost and reduced availability of carbohydrates to supplement diets for cows will make high-quality forages even more important. Research is also necessary to find more ways to extend Minnesota's grazing season. By determining a plant's availability to take up nutrients from the soil, we can identify what pasture plants might produce in an early growth start in the spring and what plants continue to be productive late into the fall and early winter. Research will also identify plant species that act to serve as good stockpilers and also determine the best ways to preserve high-quality, nutritious forests to feed during the winter. Research on bovine genetics and dairy herd management should be focused on developing herds adapted for productivity and hardiness in reduced input conditions appropriate to organic dairying. Studies in ruminant behavior will illuminate how cows can increase their productivity in the process of harvesting their own feed. Grazing animals are much healthier than confined animals and require less veterinary care. Therefore, holistic health management education should be available for all the universities' large animal veterinary students. The sad truth is, our state is losing our dairy farms. According to the Minnesota Department of Agriculture, the number of dairy farms in 1995 was 11,497, and that has been reduced by 6,000 over the last, 10 years. And the average age of a Minnesota dairy farmer is 58 years old. Perennial pasture will help define and readdress how we understand dairy productivity in a broader context, not only by rolling herd averages, but by productivity as it translates to healthier and longer-lived animals, improved quality of life for family farms, better soil and water quality, a healthier environment, strong rural economic development, and a thriving rural culture in Minnesota. It's the responsibility of the university and the Department of Agriculture to work together to provide outreach and resources for farmers who are looking to transition from conventional to organic, but even more importantly, to encourage Minnesotans to look at dairy farming with new interest as an opportunity for a viable career and lifestyle choice. Thank you for your time today, and if you have any questions, I'd be happy to.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Representative Hamilton?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Ms. Anderson, is it?
Andreessen.
Andreessen, thank you. You made a comment in your statement that grazing animals are more healthy than confinement animals. What are you basing that comment on?
There have been some studies that have been done by the West Central Research Center out in Morris, but also just from my farm's experiences. When I talk to my producers, they say that their veterinary bills are about 25% of what conventional farmers report.
Madam Chair, just follow up, because I do work with livestock in a confinement operations, and we're very high health animals, and so I would, I guess, question that statement and the validity of that statement. And my whole point on here is, on the organic side of things, there's a market there, and there's good products, absolutely, and we want to be able to promote the good products that we have, not at the expense of other segments of agriculture. And that's what concerns me with all this. You know, we could start citing a tremendous amount of research when it comes to conventional versus organic. And basically what that research will tell us is that both conventional and organic has good quality products. And so, again, I get really discouraged when people come down here and start tearing down one segment to build up the other. If we're going to promote it, let's promote it about the positives. Let's not be tearing down another segment of agriculture.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Chair and committee, let me introduce myself. I'm Carmen Fernholz. I have a 450-acre certified organic farm near Madison, Minnesota. In fact, I have been certified organic since 1973. As Atina referenced, we're probably some of the older organic producers. I guess I always like to say, take off a little bit on Dolly Parton's song, "We were organic when organic wasn't cool." Anyway, Let me begin by asking that we look beyond green when we think about organics and organic farming. In the consumer's mind, as well as that of the producer, organic is already green. And if it ceases to be green for whatever reasons, the consumer will reject it because green is what brought organic to where it is today. On the other hand, Tom Royer, in an editorial in The Land about a year ago, said that city councils and chamber groups scramble to keep their towns growing and the taxes flowing, according to Walmart's ethanol plants, any industry with a pulse. Farm operations, the dairies and the swine that seem to catch most of the attention, are getting bigger as they try to maximize efficiency and scrape every extra penny from each acre. What I don't hear them asking, Tom Royer goes on to say, is what can be done to simply retain what they already have. So this morning I'm suggesting that we look at organic food production systems from an economic perspective. Let's begin to look at organic food production systems as a new rural economic development opportunity. Let me pose this rhetorical question. Is organic, that is, an organic production system important to you, to Minnesota? According to some recent figures from the Minnesota Department of Agriculture, we know that there are a very significant number of organic producers across this great state, and this number continues to grow. Our recent organic conference drew over 400 attendees and has been increasing in attendance each year. The Upper Midwest Organic Conference, held just across our border in La Crosse, Wisconsin, is drawing over 2,000 attendees each year. And national statistics show the organic industry continuing to expand at an annual 20% rate on into the future. Just yesterday, I was at an organic dairy workshop in Morris. Projections for the growth in organic milk production out to the year 2015 are pegged at the equivalent of 300 to 400 new 60 to 100 cow producers each year. Imagine the impact on Minnesota if we can represent even a percentage of this growth. I am vice chair of an organic marketing agency called Organic Farmers Agency for Relationship Marketing. This agency, made up of 8 independent marketing co-ops, each represent hundreds of organic grain producers across 18 Midwest states and southern Canada in marketing or organic grains, both domestically and in foreign ports. It will be our responsibility as organic grain producers to source the organic grains for these expanding dairies. I mention the above statistics because they are the best indicators of the growing need for research and education required to support such a growing economic boon to rural communities. Without this support, organics will flounder and fritter away its potential as the greatest broad-based rural economic development opportunity to come along in quite some time. Without this educational and research component, there will continue to be the suggestion that organics is not for real, and we will have lost our opportunity to other states and to other countries. We have the model in the conventional world when it comes to selling an economic development plan. We need the same model in the organic world as well, by investing in the research and the education that can, in fact, demonstrate how organics achieves this economic development from field to fork. This model must be about researching new production methods, including new crops, new rotations, new weed management skills, new soil saving practices, new energy conservation tools, and new food safety protocols. We need the university to give support to the new beginning grain and dairy farmers who know how to generate the needed income, but who need the research and education to avoid the management pitfalls that could put them under. We need the economic research and marketing expertise from extension educators to assist the group of entrepreneurs wishing to invest in an organic meat, dairy, or cheese processing plant. So my final question is this. What roles can the university play? First of all, we need to think of organics as a rural development opportunity. Without this approach, the university cannot justify significant requisition of financial resources. If those of us concerned about the rural economy, including legislators and university personnel, continue to think of organics only as a niche market, it would not be prudent for the legislature to commit significant dollars, nor the university to commit valuable research time and effort. However, as I mentioned above, organics is beyond niche markets, and it will survive as its niche market into the future. But organic potential is way beyond. It is a multi-billion dollar industry, and as such, it has become Main Street business in rural Minnesota, as well as downtown St. Paul, Minneapolis, Rochester, or Duluth. So what is needed? Much greater focus on agronomic research to go across the state, both private and public, is step one. The university must position itself and its resources over the long term, focusing on the economic and social attributes of an organic food production system by connecting with the producers, the processors, the distributors, and the retail sectors of our state commerce. But for the university to take step one, the legislature must take a first step and fund the university endeavors to carry out this agenda. I thank you for the opportunity and would be open to questions.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Representative Erdahl?
No, thank you, Madam Chair. And first question, what is, do you know the average size of in acres of the farms, dairy organic farms?
I certainly couldn't give you a specific figure. I know that the Department of Ag has these figures. Grain-producing farms, would, on average, would be well over 150 to 200 acres. I'm talking grain-producing. And I'm looking at some of the dairy information that I've got. Most of the dairy herds that we talked about yesterday are in the 60 to 100 head herds.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to commend you for really bucking a trend where since the last 4 years we've lost about 1,200 more dairy farms. It's commendable that dairy and organic is increasing. Since 1993 we've lost about 7,000 farms totally in Minnesota, and to see at least one segment of the farm economy growing in the numbers of farms, I think is impressive. And if you happen to be interested in these types of statistics, the new Steve Dill, Senator Dill booklet on livestock is out, and I got it hot off the presses, so you might contact Senator Dill if you're interested in one of those. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions? Representative Szymanski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I would probably ask anyone on the panel there this morning, as far as value-added processing for organic products, where are we? Where do you see it going in the next 10 years, perhaps? The dairy products, for example, are you processing in small operations, or are you finding a marketing niche within the larger co-ops and those type of things?
We have actually had a hard time finding processors in Minnesota who are willing to work with such a small cooperative. And so we are selling our raw milk to a Wisconsin cooperative. We have special needs that most larger processing plants are not willing to accommodate. For example, when we sell our raw milk, we purchase back our cream to make our signature product, which is our butter. And there are not, there just aren't that many processors out there that are willing to work with such a small producer group. It can be discouraging, but we're figuring it out.
Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just briefly coming back to that point, in the investment tax credit for dairy bill, it's, Representative Junkie and I are promoting, we have a provision for tax credits for on-farm processing. Would this be something that you or others would be interested in, do you think?
Madam Chair, Representative Erdahl, what we've found in one of the fastest growing sectors of organics, namely organic meats, that the processing is an issue because of the inability to cross state lines with processing because of the lack of USDA inspections. And, of course, the infrastructure is not there to process large numbers of organic beef in particular at this point. So I'm not sure what on-farm processing would be a benefit at this point. Not that it wouldn't be a positive, but I'm not sure at this point to what extent.
Okay, thank you.
Are there any other questions? Representative Egan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And you talked earlier about a lot of the benefits of the organic methods of farming, and one of those was the carbon sequestration. I was kind of intrigued by that. There is the climate, the Chicago Climate Exchange in Chicago, which is buying carbon credits and buying carbon credits from farmers who are using various methods. And I was wondering if organic methods were included in that, if some organic farmers were selling carbon credits on the Chicago Climate Exchange, if they recognize that as one of those.
Madam Chair, Representative Eakin, I'm not sure if they're doing it, but they would certainly be eligible to, because even myself as an organic producer, I participate fully in all of the other farm programs, even as an organic producer, so I'd certainly be, like you say, eligible for that.
My testimony has a footnote. Research showing the research on with the Rodale Institute, they have 23-year conventional organic trials side by side, and that's where those statistics are from on the amount of carbon sequestering. So if you want to follow that up, it is in my footnote where that information is from.
Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other questions? Representative Szymanski.
Madam Chair, thank you. If I may just ask one more question regarding carbon sequestration. Has there been any research done on the soil's carrying capacity of how much carbon it can sequester, and do we reach a saturation point at some, you know, after years of cover crop or organic?
That's a really good question. The carbon sequestering has happened because of increased organic matter in the soil. We've been farming our present farm now since 1991. We had to move. And our organic matter levels are continuing to increase. Are you seeing the same thing in your, you've been on your property for over 30 years?
Madam Chair, Representative, yes, in fact, we did some research years back. There's a renowned carbon researcher at the USDA ARS station in Morris who has been working on this carbon thing for years. And he has been able to measure the sequestration that takes place in tillage processes. And he did some testing on my farm, and through the process that I'm doing there, corroborates what Tina is saying, that there is significant sequestration. I don't have the statistics, but I know Dr. Rakowski would be able to give pretty sound figures on what this sequestration ability is and the saturation point.
Thank you. Are there any other questions? I just know that there are a lot of dairy farmers who are going to stop doing dairy and now are rolling over to organic, and so that is a piece of economic development for our areas in the rural areas. Thank you.
Thank you all.
University of Minnesota. Good morning, and state your name. And
good morning. Good morning, Committee. My name is Nancy Elke. I am the interim head of the Department of Agronomy and Plant Genetics at the University of Minnesota. The University of Minnesota has a long legacy of assisting citizens of this state in the production of food and fiber. The University of Minnesota remains committed to providing high-quality research, education, outreach, and extension activities, which have historically had a major impact on the productivity and profitability of many aspects of the Minnesota agricultural community. Today, I've been asked to come before this committee and share a few of the highlights of our efforts in organic agriculture. As the university is a source of objective, research-based information, our organic and conventional programs provide producers, processors, and consumers with research-based information ranging from effective, profitable, and environmentally responsible management systems to healthy and safe foods. The University of Minnesota is committed to helping both new and experienced organic as well as conventional farmers to be successful. The University of Minnesota can become a leader in organic systems research encompassing all aspects of production from the field to the table. As you've heard, the organic industry is one of the most rapidly growing components of the food and fiber section of the U.S. economy. Minnesota is a leader in organic production. In 2005, Minnesota was fourth in the nation in organic cropland, with certified organic acreage in Minnesota increasing over 95% in 5 years. And we are fifth in the number of total organic farms. Some examples of our research activities. Currently, there's an ongoing research, organic research and education program at the Southwest Research and Outreach Center at Lamberton, Minnesota, which is strong and nationally recognized. The Southwest Research and Outreach Center contains organically certified land and is a place where we can build an excellent foundation for organic cropping research and education programs. However, with the long-term nature of organic systems research, a commitment to long-term sustainable funding is needed to assure that the University of Minnesota can continue to be a leader in organic agriculture research, education, and outreach activities. This investment in long-term research is needed to provide the extensive management to initiate and conduct and sustain the complex long-term organic systems research and our education and outreach activities. An investment in the university faculty will allow those faculty to garner additional resources and leverage support for research and education beyond the available current funding and allow our faculty to be more competitive for national and regional granting opportunities in agricultural research. Currently, there are over 50 scientists within the College of Food, Agricultural, and Natural Resource Sciences who have expressed an interest in some aspect of organic production. These scientists currently conduct both conventional and organic research that cover the broad range of topics, including crop breeding and cropping systems, soil fertility and health, pest and disease management, and ecological systems research. The University of Minnesota is uniquely positioned to be a national and world leader in these food systems. The development of world-class organic research facilities with the addition of adequate support for faculty, graduate students, staff, and research equipment and supplies would enhance and complement the vision of the University of Minnesota by enhancing the research, teaching, extension, and outreach activities of the faculty. University of Minnesota researchers with a commitment to long-term resources would be able to provide a cutting-edge place for conducting organic research in the next decades and provide unique outdoor living laboratories for educating both students and producers. For example, through the grassroots efforts of some committed faculty on the St. Paul campus and a wide range of students, Cornucopia, which is the student organic farm, has been operating for the past few years on the St. Paul campus. Cornucopia provides a living laboratory for a broad range of students at the University of Minnesota, and its mission is to steward a student-based, organic, sustainable farm that provides food, a place for community building, multidisciplinary educational activities, research, and outreach. There's also the potential for the University of Minnesota Landscape Arboretum to partner with the community through the development of a community-supported agricultural farm. This would allow the University of Minnesota to have unique educational opportunities by linking suburban and city dwellers with the production of organic food on the land, as well as allow the University of Minnesota to be a model CSA farm for others to learn from. An expanded organic research program An additional certified organic research land at the University of Minnesota would provide improved information for organic producers about choosing appropriate crop varieties for organic conditions and an increase of producers' economic returns and support the development of both new crops and new cultivars of those crops specifically developed for these production systems. For example, Minnesota is the number one organic soybean growing state in the U.S., producing about 20% of the organic soybean crop. 2 weeks ago, Rob Hanks of the Minnesota Soybean Research and Promotion Council spoke to your committee and pointed out that most of the organic varieties raised at the University of Minnesota were developed by the University Soybean Variety Development Program. And these University of Minnesota varieties have opened up new markets for Minnesota producers, both in the U.S. and primarily in Asia. One of the other reasons for the intense statewide interest in organic production systems is that Minnesota's small and medium-sized livestock operations are searching for markets that fit their systems in order to remain profitable. Organic production is one option that can offer this potential to these producers. There's many issues with livestock production, including feed issues, health management, housing issues, that can all contribute to a reduction in profit potential. Research to develop practices that increase both organic and conventional production stability, control production risks, and reduce costs are needed to develop a livestock production sector that can contribute to the farm and rural community and their stability. For example, as mentioned earlier, the West Central Research and Outreach Center located in Morris, Minnesota, is ideally suited to capitalize on issues facing organic dairy producers. With the grazing-based forage feed systems being researched at the West Central Research and Outreach System, a holistic approach is taken to investigating dairy systems and to provide research-based education and outreach activities. With an on-site herd and the pastures available, the West Central Research and Outreach Study can study grazing-based livestock systems that blend the elements of dairy science, environmental quality, economic analysis, and the forage-based systems research. The opportunity would exist to research conventional and organic grazing-based dairy research if long-term sustainable funding was available to provide this high-quality information that is sensitive to the needs of Minnesota conventional and organic farmers and to rural community development. In closing, organic agriculture is a growing area of specialized crop and livestock production, which is being bolstered by consumer demand, industry growth, and an increasing recognition and acceptance by the public. A growing number of producers, processors, and retailers in Minnesota have become committed to the organic food system and have asked the University of Minnesota for information and help in developing these sustainable production and food systems. Today I have focused primarily on the University of Minnesota activities, but I would like to point out that we do this work in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Agriculture, the Minnesota Institute for Sustainable Agriculture, which is housed currently in the Department of Agronomy and Plant Genetics, many organic growers, and many other sustainable organizations in the state. Providing growers the option of reaching new markets is a big team effort by the University of Minnesota. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Ecke. Representative.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I just like to say thank you for putting a plug in there for the outreach centers. I serve on the Southwest Research and Outreach Center Board, and there is a phenomenal group of people. They have a great pulse on what needs to take place for research and whatnot, and we do need to help out with the funding on that situation. So thank you for putting a plug in for them.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions or comments for the committee? Thank you, Ms. Elke.
Thank you.
Ms. Weiss? State your name again for the tape.
Yeah, Madam Chair, Representatives, I'm Don Wise. I'm a member of the Department of Agronomy and Plant Genetics at the University of Minnesota, and have spent a few years working with the organic community. And I guess I would have to say, speaking from a faculty member perspective, was one of the original faculty members that did in fact pay attention to the emerging industry called the organic industry today, and really participated in helping convert land out at Lamberton into the backbone of our organic program within the University of Minnesota. And I guess I really would start with that investment, and just to kind of bring you up to speed as to how things have developed over the years. That was really leadership provided by that area of the state, the interest of the farmers in that region, and the interest of the faculty and leaders at Lamberton did, in fact, give rise to the faculty's capacity to help deal with the issues that were facing the organic industry. But in doing that, basically, we took existing resources and have spread those existing resources, not new resources, but existing resources to meet the need of that emerging industry. And it appears now that we're coming into a new phase. As a faculty member, representing not just myself, but those other 50 faculty members that have stepped forward and have shown interest, there needs to be a new commitment. If we are truly going to meet the broad expanding needs and the questions that are being asked, just listen to the questions that were being presented here today, from carbon sequestration to livestock diseases, cropping systems issues, on and on it goes. We do not have the capacity. We do not have the capacity to deal with those questions effectively. That investment that was made by the citizens of the state through the Lamberton Experiment Station allowed me as a PI to bring in about $4 million in grant dollars over the last 5 years. Without that investment, your faculty members that represent you at the University of Minnesota cannot be competitive for federal dollars. And what we're finding is, although Minnesota was leading, we had 120 acres of certified organic land, we now find that other states, other universities across the country do as well and have moved forward in many cases of having their independent university-run organic dairies. We don't. So I think we're coming as a state into this position where we have to make some key decisions. Are we going to lead or are we going to follow? In the context of rural economic development, I would certainly be in favor of leading and making sure that this new opportunity that has been created by some of the folks that have testified, the university didn't start it. Those folks that were in front of you today did. We respond as an institution to those needs. But there needs to be a capital investment that allows us to meet those needs. So the issue that we have in front of us is, what type of investment are we going to make as a state? It is apparent to me as a faculty member that we need really two categories. One is building the infrastructure that makes us competitive. We had the major commitment at the Lamberton site, but the research that goes on there does not meet the needs across the entire state. The Red River Valley is not represented very well. In terms of what we learned about the cropping systems at Lamberton, that research does not apply to the Red River Valley. We need to have organic systems positioned around the state to allow our investments from grant dollars to be put into play. As I think you heard some of the representatives from the organic industry suggest, and as did Nancy, organic systems pay off in the long run. Short-term studies of organic systems do not give you high-quality scientific results. Carbon sequestration occurs over a long period of time, and I think most of the scientists would suggest to you that I'm not a soil scientist, but listening to those stories, you have to have consistency in those systems if you're going to measure impact, and it needs to be studied over a long period of time. And two-year grants do not allow you to do that. We need the infrastructure there to allow us to bring in federal resources that can take advantage of that investment in these various research sites across the state. So that's one component. I also think we now need leadership, faculty positions that are dedicated in horticulture, livestock sciences, cropping systems that can provide statewide leadership for these various research and educational areas. The other area is education. We now have, as of this week, a group of students that are coming to visit our department. A large number of those students would love to work in organic systems. We don't have the money. Those students will go, graduate students, will go other places to do that work. In other words, we're losing good minds that could be working in the state of Minnesota on these issues. They'll go elsewhere. We just do not have the capital to invest in those young minds. At the undergraduate level, Cornucopia, that Nancy just talked to you about, creates an awful lot of excitement. And it brings students into agriculture and the food system that would never have the opportunity. Political science majors coming, history majors coming to the St. Paul campus to be part of discussion about the food system. Conventional ag didn't bring them there, but their interest in the issues around food through the program of organic food systems has drawn them to our program. So, in summary, those are the three levels of investment I think that we have to decide whether, as a state, we want to make. And having the university to continue to work effectively in concert in support of the organic and the production agriculture industry in the state. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Junkie.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a number of questions, and but first I'll age Dr. Wise. Dr. Wise was my instructor for chemical weed control back in the early 80s. And in fact, I don't know if he remembers or not, but in that course, we used to always sit in the back row of his class, a number of us. One day there was a grad student that came in, and we used to have a pretty good time in the back row, and for whatever reasons, we won't go into that, but one day a grad student came in to teach a class, and Dr. Wise decided he'd come up and sit with us in the back row and understand why we were having so much fun back there every course and probably not paying attention like we should. So we had a lot of fun in your course. It was a good course. I learned a lot about chemical weed control, which brings me to my next question. As we talk about resources being spread and other things, you know, beyond chemical weed control, in a course like that, will you teach and do your instructors go over organic weed control methodology and those types of things? Are you trying to incorporate that right now into some of your undergrad courses of study?
Madam Chair, Representative, you wouldn't recognize that course anymore.
I'm sure not.
The world has changed, and there are some very important concepts that we probably didn't relate to you in those days. But those voices that you just heard weren't being heard, and the market hadn't developed. And so, in the courses that we teach, in soil science, agronomy, horticulture, yes. The courses, the mainstream courses, do in fact include the discussion of the ecological component of cropping systems much more robustly than in the past years. In the 70s and 80s, there wasn't that much demand for that understanding. Not only that, but we've also created a series of other courses that pertain directly to organic systems. As there's a greater demand for those courses, as more students come into the programs, obviously we respond to that body of students. Yes.
Madam Chair, second question. You referenced, Dr. Wise, a number of times federal dollars that were available that we're unable to match. We hear that in transportation also and other things. Can you expand a little bit on that? What federal dollars might we be leaving on the table, and what is available? What do we specifically need to be matching, or how do we go about utilizing and getting those dollars in to help bolster the dollars we may put forward?
Yes, well, I'm referring to USDA dollars, NIH dollars. Again, those research areas that would cover many of the questions that we were talking about today. Livestock diseases, energy. Some of the debate about carbon sequestration in organic systems. There's federal dollars. There's a federal program that looks at agroecosystems. If we're going to be competitive for those dollars, we have to be the best in the country. We have to have a team in place that can present the best ideas. We're competing with the best minds in the country. If we don't have the best minds, don't have the best ideas, don't have the best support behind it, we're not competitive. Just to give you an idea of how competitive it is, and we're pretty proud of this. Because of that investment at Lamberton, we brought in the $4 million. And that's not an easy thing to do. Less than 10% of the grants that are submitted to these federal programs are funded. So you have to be good, you have to be competitive, and there has to be a base behind it. Or those dollars are not left on the shelf. They're left on the shelf. They go other places. They don't come to Minnesota.
And Madam Chair, can you even be more specific? What would you need to add to be even more competitive? I mean, is it facilities, laboratory facilities? Is it a graduate program that brings those dollars in? As you talked about, more than a 2-year, but a 5 or a 10-year commitment to ongoing to graduates? Or what specifically, as you're writing those grants, and as we work, frankly, with Representative Peterson out in Washington right now and try and correlate some of this, what would they be looking for that would move you to the top of that pile of paperwork that comes in?
Yeah. Madam Chair, Representative, it's the infrastructure. You cannot do research in organic systems if you don't have organic systems in which to do the work. That's why that site that's 18 years old now at Lamberton is very valuable to us. But to run and to maintain that rotation takes a substantial investment. You have to have people that understand the system. You have to have the appropriate equipment to maintain those efforts. And that's really what I personally believe needs to happen. We need to have that same type of effort in each of our agro-eco regions across the state with appropriate staffing and with the appropriate equipment and then the appropriate academic leadership to make that possible. So it's the package that has, I personally believe, has to be invested in.
Thank you.
Representative Morrow.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Dr. Wise, I'd like to ask you just to expand for one moment on the competition you've had for grad students and losing grad students to other programs. Could you comment just a bit more for my sake on perhaps either falling behind or not being in a leadership position vis-a-vis other institutions in the country?
Well, Madam Chair, Representative, the world has changed. I've been at the university for 33 years now. And have watched the resource base, not just for organics, but for production agriculture decline dramatically. Just to give you a slightly personal story to answer your question. When I arrived in 1974, a long time ago, I guess, I did, in fact, receive from the experiment station between 2 and 3 graduate assistantships. In other words, it gave us the flexibility. In other words, we could have taken those dollars and we could have, in fact, worked on organic systems. Today, I have 0. The only dollars I can invest in those young minds is the money that I pull in from Washington. Those are the dollars. Those dollars have disappeared. So unless we have the grant dollars, those young minds that are coming through this Friday, we would love to bring a large portion of the students to Minnesota, from Minnesota and from outside the state of Minnesota. We just do not have the capital to do it.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions?
One quick follow-up.
Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Professor Wise, we're just all dying to know what kind of student Representative Junkie was.
Madam Chair, that
you don't have to answer.
No. I was just going to say that would be illegal.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Representative Bly. Representative Morrow, would you move?
Madam Chair, I move that we have House File 845 heard and recommended to pass to the Finance Committee.
Welcome.
Good morning, Madam Chair.
Do you have an amendment, or are you ready to go?
Yes, Madam Chair, I do. I have a delete everything amendment and some replacement language, and I believe you have that in your packets. Would you like me to read the amendment? Or okay.
Thank you.
After the enacting clause, Section 1, alternate livestock research and outreach, $150,000 is appropriated in fiscal year 2008, and $150,000 is appropriated in fiscal year 2009, from the general fund to the regents of the University of Minnesota for alternative livestock research and outreach efforts at the Minnesota Institute for Sustainable Agriculture. This is an ongoing baseline appropriation. The funds shall be spent on research and the dissemination of findings related to alternative and pasture-based livestock operations, including forages appropriate for grass-based livestock production, livestock genetics, and marketing in sustainable agricultural systems.
Madam Chair, I'd move the DE1 amendment to get the bill in the shape the author wants it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you.
So, Madam Chair, the bill appropriates $300,000 over the next biennium to the University of Minnesota for alternative livestock research and outreach of the Minnesota Institute for Sustainable Agriculture. Alternate livestock, in Section 1, alternate livestock research and outreach appropriates $150,000 in fiscal years 2008, 2009 from the General Fund, University of Minnesota, and specifies that the funds must be spent on research and outreach related to alternative and pasture-based livestock operations. I do have Diane Jensen of the Minnesota Project to testify, and I also believe that Helene Murray from MISA, the Minnesota Institute for Sustainable Ag, did testify at an earlier date, and she is here if there are questions for her.
Okay. Thank you. Introduce yourself for the tape.
My name is Diane Jensen. I'm with the Minnesota Project. The Minnesota Project is an organization concerned about renewable economic development that benefits rural Minnesota. We do renewable energy and conservation, local food systems, and work on profitable farms that also protect the environment. I'm here today on behalf of this particular bill, but I should also note that we support the subsequent bills as well. But in the interest of time, we decided to kind of divide up the testimony here and keep it short for you. I see nods. Yes, thank you. Minnesota Institute for Sustainable Agriculture is a key piece of the work at the university working on organics and sustainable work. Minnesota Project supports them. They are actually an organization that is a contract between the University of Minnesota and a number of other organizations, the Sustainers Groups. And we work to make sure that this is a thriving piece at the University of Minnesota. The Institute for Agriculture and Trade Policy, the Minnesota Project, Land Stewardship Project, Sustainable Farming Organization, and the Minnesota Food Association are all part of this collaborative work to make sure that this outreach effort happens. And we are in support of the bills you are here today. We need this kind of information and research on alternatives to the confinement approach because of the demand that is out there. Some of it is the demand of the farmers who, because of their own values or culture or cost or the wish to access special markets, are demanding this kind of information. The other side of it, of course, is that we actually have a public that is also demanding these products and want more of them. So we need the information and research in order to make this particular piece of the market happen. We also need the farmer-to-farmer work that happens, especially meeting the growing need of the immigrant population that is continuing to expand, especially in the goat markets at this time. This work at MISA, this particular piece of work, started with swine, but it is now serving swine, sheep, poultry, dairy, and goats as it goes forward. The piece of work that is recommended here is working on on-farm processing, bulk purchasing and transportation, pasture production and alternative systems, expanding market opportunities. And MISA provides the coordination and facilitation of the people working to create these markets. They do the outreach and education, the field days and farmer-to-farmer work. They do the research projects, and this includes applied research, which is so important We have the university on one hand creating the original research, but we also need the applied systems to create the work with the farmers that are trying to make these systems go. This is a very small amount of money. I wish it was more, quite frankly. I think the amount needs to be higher. But I think $150,000 a year is an amount that will keep this going, enable it to grow and access more of the work that needs to be done and serve it. And this is a small amount of money that will return a large amount of benefits, both to the alternative agriculture system, but because information is not exclusive to any one system, it also has potential benefits to all agriculture. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions or comments? Any further discussion?
Madam Chair, I just renew my motion to have House File 845 as amended, recommended to pass to the Finance Committee.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed?
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. You're welcome. Representative Doty, if you'd like, you can have your testifier come down at the same time. Representative Doty, would you like to move your bill?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, I would like to move House File 846. I recommend that the committee pass this and move to Ag Finance.
Okay. Representative Doty, you can start to tell us about your bill.
Madam Chair and members, this is a bill to do several things, even though it's short. For those who are looking to encourage organic farming, it will do that. For those that are looking to increase Minnesota's place in the marketplace, whether you're green or simply looking at the green of the money, it should do that. And for those who are looking for conformity with federal programs, it should help us do that also. Essentially, the situation now is we already do share cost share payments to farmers who are producing packaging agricultural products for organic certification, and this bill is looking to put our amounts into conformity with federal, and in years when the federal government does not come through with the money, to make sure that the state does. It's an either or situation, so that these people would be paid, I believe the average of these, correct me if I'm wrong, it costs about $900 on average for organic certification. The federal program will pay three-fourths of that, or $500, whichever is less. And so we'd like that language to also apply from the state. And it would be either or in years when the federal government paid, the state would not. I do have an amendment for this, which I would like to offer at this time.
Okay. Representative Doty, how would you like to amend the bill?
Madam Chair, when we figured the amounts on this, we looked at $400 for 400 farmers, and thus the total of $160,000. Since the amounts are up to $500, and since we took a little more careful look at how many farmers we're estimating to get and our goal of increasing this number of farmers, we'd like to raise the base amount to be 500 times 500, or $250,000. And at current time, the administrative cost for this is approximately $15,000. The increased number of permitting certification that we're expecting here should also increase the need for that. So we'd like to bring the total of that to 25,000. So the change, the amendments that I'm asking, instead of $160,000 per year, if those two places where that's referred to in here, that would should read 275,000.
So it's page one.
Page one.
Line one.
1.6. There are two references to $160,000. I move to amend that to read 275,000 in each case.
All those in favor of the amendment on the 846?
Aye.
Opposed? The amendment passes.
Thank you. The bill, as I said, is short, but we're hoping it accomplishes several things. Hopefully now it's short enough that we've read it. The amendment is taken care of. At this time, I'll stand for questions, and if you have anything further to add, we'll both stand for questions.
Mr. Peterson.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Tom Peterson, and I represent the Minnesota Farmers Union. And we're here today to speak in favor of House File 846 that does appropriate now $275,000. And again, to the commissioner, for use for cost share payments for farmers who grow, sell, process, or package ag products. We feel that this program has been very proactive in support of organic agriculture in Minnesota. At its current funding level is $35,000. It's been as high, I believe, as $50,000. I made some calls last night, and I know this from talking to our farmers, but I made some calls last night to ask many of our farmers that are organic, is this a good idea? Is the cost share, you know, double check with them. And it was very unanimous that this cost share is very effective. Whether you're, I talked to our president in Kandi Ojai County, who's a corn and bean farmer, but he pointed out too his certification is a little higher too because he also certified organic to sell into Japan. So there's different higher levels for that. I talked to a farmer in Chisago County who reminded me too that he pays two cost shares, one for or two or certifications, because he is he's raising hogs and beef cattle, and so he pays to certify his livestock and his crops to prove that he is organic to become certified. And the good thing about him was he told me that the cost share is really important because he's bringing his grandson back into the operation, and they're working with another neighboring dairy farmer, and they have a lot of hay ground, and they're certifying their hay and then selling their hay. And he said the cost share was really important to his grandson, who is a separate entity on his farm. Oddly enough, he told me when I asked him how the hay business was and certifying hay, he told me that the darndest thing, Tom, he said the biggest market right now for the organic hay is horse people who want to buy organic hay for their horses. So I thought that was a new market I hadn't thought of. So, that was an interesting point, though, that he talked about that being a very helpful tool because of the expense. On average, as Representative Doty said, about $900 to cost share. It really depends. It varies. There's no set price depending on what you're certifying. I also talked to somebody who's a truck farmer who does vegetables. And so that it depends on your volume and how much you're certifying. So those are just a couple of points we wanted to make. Again, there's four categories for the cost share, as I understand it. There's crop, livestock, there's processing. And also something called wild harvest, which I believe is for certifying things like maple syrup. So the federal program, And I always think it's interesting why Minnesota should have a cost share program. It has been something, as I stated, that has helped our producers enter and maintain their organic program, and also help Minnesota be a leader in organics. A lot of states don't have the state cost share too, but you heard from Ms. Moynihan on Monday and the university tell us that we rank number one in soybeans, we rank high in a lot of organic products. And so I think that's where the state's been proactive and can continue to do more. The federal program has been very inconsistent and underfunded. And if you look at this bill, too, it also has a piece in it, too, where if the federal farm bill does include dollars for that that passes in 2007, is funded in 2008, and is funded well, that there is language in here that the commissioner may allocate any excess appropriation in either fiscal year for organic producer education efforts, assistance persons transitioning, and other projects, which I think also would be very well, would help our farmers. So that's just a few points. Thank you for your consideration for this bill. It is supported by LSP and Sustainable Farming Association and Minnesota Project as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions or comments?
One quick one.
Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Doty, the cost of organic certification, is that a one-time expense to the farmers, or is that ongoing?
It's ongoing. If you want to speak to how frequent, but it is an ongoing procedure.
Well, every year.
Every year.
Yes, Madam Chair.
Yes. Thank you. Anybody else have any questions? Thank you. Appreciate your testimony.
Madam Chair, members, at this time, then I'd like to renew my motion to have this committee pass House File 846 as amended and refer it to the Committee on Ag Policy. Ag Finance, excuse me.
I think we have to go to Finance first.
Finance Committee first.
And then they'll direct it back to Ag Finance, correct?
Okay. I will rephrase my motion. I move that this committee pass House File 846 as amended, and we refer it to Finance Committee first.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative. Representative Sumter.
Morning, Madam Chair. Thank you.
And I believe Representative Erdahl is going to move the bill.
So move the bill.
Thank you. Are there any amendments?
None, Madam Chair.
Please tell us about the bill.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the Ag Committee, it is with great enthusiasm and optimism that I am bringing you House File 844 to your committee. Organic production of food and other products represents one of the most exciting and revitalizing forces in our state's agriculture today. Much of the testimony before you on Monday and today has highlighted the transforming effect of organic agricultural production is having on the lives of family farmers and their rural communities. House File 844 is designed to enhance and support this endeavor. This bill establishes a comprehensive statewide organic research and educational initiative. It will make the University of Minnesota a national and international leader in organic agricultural research and education, building on its already substantial accomplishments in this area. It will build infrastructure for research and education in agronomy, horticulture, and livestock production. As a dairy farmer myself, I am particularly interested in the possibilities of establishing an organic dairy herd here as part of this effort. We all want more livestock on the Minnesota landscape. We want more farm families on farms with dairy cows, not just more dairy cows in big feedlots. Organic dairying represents an important means to accomplish this because it enhances the value of a farm family's labor. Farmers need to make more money. The research and education in this bill will over time help producers make more money, more net dollars, and more local, and create more local economic activity. We all know that retail sales of organic foods and products are growing dramatically. Smart farmers produce for the market. Minnesota farmers, many of whom are small and medium-sized, understand the opportunities that organic production represents. Let's be strategic and support these organic producers with a significant commitment of money for education and research contained in House File 844. For a long time, organic food production has been seen as a specialty, a marketing niche that a few producers could benefit from, but that would become quickly a saturated market. Today we know quite differently. Farming by organic standards has become very mainstream. More and more the public likes and wants what organic farming is, a tracking system by which people know where their food came from, how it was produced, and that it was raised in an environmentally appropriate manner. We need the mainstream education and research approach in this bill to complement what is occurring in organic farming. House File 844 will fund faculty, graduate students, and staff at the University of Minnesota for a cost of $450,000 per year. It will fund technical support positions at Umore Park, St. Paul campus, and research and outreach centers in Lamberton, Waseca, Morris, and Crookston for a cost of $300,000 per year. Graduate research assistantships will be increased in the areas of organic livestock, horticulture, and agronomy for a cost of $250,000 per year. And funding for various pieces of equipment to carry out this research will cost $100,000 per year. Just as farming is about investing in the long term, so too is House File 844. The $2.2 million used to start the Organic Research and Education Initiative will pay us back for decades into the future. Every small town economy and every farm family in Minnesota will have the opportunity to benefit from this very modest investment should you choose to make it. Thank you, Madam Chair and Committee.
Thank you. Are there any questions, or should we just move on to the testifier?
Madam Chair, I also have Mr. Sobosinski here to testify.
Would you say your name for the tape, please?
My name is Paul Sobosinski. I work with the Land Stewardship Project. Thank you for the opportunity to testify. I'll be brief. Today I'm testifying on behalf of the Land Stewardship Project, but also Minnesota Project supports this initiative, as well as the Sustainable Farming Association of Minnesota and Minnesota Farmers Union and Minnesota National Farmers Organization. I think the whole concept here, to me, that's really important is the whole idea about investing in Minnesota agriculture, investing in the future. Investing in the university is about investing in that future, whether it be in organics, which this bill is about today, but it's also important to invest in terms of sustainable agriculture. And obviously, it's important to invest in conventional agriculture. We need to provide the resources to the university so that we are investing in the future, so that we are growing agriculture, so that we are looking at a variety of ways in which farmers can return to the land and be able to compete in Minnesota and be part of our rural communities. I appreciate the opportunity to testify today and appreciate this bill moving forward. Thank you.
Are there any questions or comments? Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Representative Shumper, I know you are a dairy farmer. Are you organic?
Madam Chair, Representative Orgel, no, I'm not. It's one of the mistakes I've made in 30 years of farming, to be perfectly honest. I actually looked at it about 25 years ago when it was first starting to develop, and, you know, that was kind of problematic because there was such high transportation costs involved. The closest place to my farm is Coon Valley, Wisconsin, where we could have had it processed, and same thing with feed. There was really difficulty in buying organically raised corn and hay any place close, so I didn't do it. You know, I have to say, depending on how serving in the legislature goes and how I manage to keep my farming going, I have to make some significant investments in the next couple of years if I'm going to keep my dairy farming going to comply with our county feedlot program. And if I do, I've pretty much decided that I'm going to go to certified organic because I think, you know, it's a little more longer-term commitment that way and it'll work out. So I'm not yet, but if I keep on dairying for any time longer, I plan to.
Yeah.
Representative Urdahl.
Thank you, Madam Chair. During this testimony today, I live on a small hobby farm, and I thought briefly maybe in my interim time I should get into organic gardening, but that thought lasted about 10 seconds. But I would like to commend you for bringing this forward. I think there's some good initiatives today. I know this is probably one of the first bills that you've presented, but you don't have to have the same shirt color as your testifier. Just thought I'd point that out.
Are there any other questions or comments? Would you like to renew the motion?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I will renew the motion and go to Finance Committee.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you very much for your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members.
Is there any other business? If not, committees adjourned.